This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining me now from Buff's own Brian Howell. We're talking all things Colorado Buffaloes. And Brian, the Buffs did it. They found a way. Everything came together, even that offense in the second half against Arizona.
Yeah, literally everything came together. It was an all three phases game, as coaches like to say. So the Buffs needed that one in a big way, and especially offensively.
Well, we know, you know, things got started on the offense. Well, scoring side of things with special teams, getting a pick six. I mean, everything was rocking and rolling for the Buffs outside of the offense. And then the offense woke up. Brendan Lewis ended up throwing two touchdowns. He had a nice game, 12 of 19, 248 yards. So Brian, my question for you with Brendan Lewis first, have you seen a transition? Have you seen a look? Or is it, you know what, it was against an Arizona team? Ask me that in a couple of weeks.
I think it's a little of both, because it was Arizona and they struggled. But the one, probably the biggest strength for Arizona coming in was their pass defense. I mean, they were one of the top teams in the Pac-12 against the pass. And, you know, Brendan Lewis had success. And it did take a while for that offense to get going. But, you know, looking back at the game, I had forgotten about this in the aftermath of it, but that first drive, he throws a beautiful pass to Dimitri Staley, who drops at the end zone. That would have been a touchdown. That would have been his third. So Brendan came out playing pretty well and then finished the game strong. So I think it was a good turning point for him. We saw some things from him we hadn't seen in previous weeks. It certainly helped it was against Arizona. I think that's a type of game that can give him some confidence.
Well, and listen, I know it's Arizona, Brian, but when you beat a team, when you beat a college team, when you beat a Pac-12 team 34-0, I mean, that turns some heads, right? I mean, those guys that were really doubting this Buffs team, does that change things yet, or do you still look at it and say, nah, Arizona's just that bad?
Yeah, I think the team, I still want to see more. I mean, you know, that's a bad Arizona team, and it was a really nice performance. I think things snowballed for the Buffs. I mean, we do have to remember it was a 6-0 game midway through the third quarter. So, you know, Arizona could have turned that thing quickly. But for the Buffs, they needed that, and they've got an opportunity this week against a Cal team that is not very good either. I mean, they're 1-5. So it's on the road, but that's a tough one for the Buffs. So, but they can get that one.
Did you see kind of a change as far as the locker room and it is the excitement there? Carl Durrell pumped to get that win, and a win like that, again, winning 34-0. Did you see kind of a change, maybe a confidence booster there on the Buff side of things?
Yeah, big time. I think more than anything, it was a sigh of relief for a lot of guys because things had snowballed into a 4-game losing streak. I mean, it started with a pretty good loss, you know, that Texas A&M game. Everybody was kind of feeling good about that one, and then all of a sudden it got really ugly really fast. And so I think there was a big sigh of these Buffs to just kind of put the ugliness aside and get a nice, good win that they could kind of breathe easy in the fourth quarter, really.
Well, they avoid the basement in the Pac-12 South. Now going up against a team that's in the basement in the Pac-12 North in Cal. Like you said, this is an opportunity and maybe a little pressure here, because the following week is scary times. They go to Oregon. So, you know, if you're looking to grab a couple of wins and salvage something out of this season, well, Cal's right in front of you.
Yeah, and it's crazy. Cal's came out as like a 10-point favorite in this game, which is crazy for a 1-5 team to be that big of a favorite. But, you know, Cal, they are 1-5. They've had 4 one-score losses and did play well at Oregon last week. So this is not going to be an easy one, but it's a Cal team that, you know, is 1-5. So for the Buffs, it is that opportunity to go out there on the road, get a victory, win a second in a row, and take some momentum into Eugene next week. And who knows what happens then.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Who knows? What do you think in this one, though, when you're looking at a 10-point dogs against this Cal team? Do you think the Buffs keep that momentum going, find a way to get a win on the road?
Yeah, I do. I think that the Buffs, you know, found something last week. I think Cal's a better opponent than they saw last week, but I like to be optimistic. So I'm going to say the Buffs go out there and win this one. It's going to be low scoring because neither of these offenses is real high powered, but I see something like a 23-17 type of game.
And then when you, like, what does that tell you about the rest of the season? Because there's, I mean, Brian, I know we were, like, burying this team, and you know, again, they were losing some bad games. That offense was looking rough, but I guess it has progressively gotten better if you want to look at that side of it. A lot of games left to go. Do you see the Buffs turning this season around? Not to the point where maybe they win one or two, but salvaging this where that record looks, you know what, not too bad after the way they started.
Yeah, I think they could do that, you know, especially if they win this one this week, because you know, their last two home games are Oregon State and Washington, who, you know, are both beatable teams. So you get both of those and a Cal game, that's five wins. And now, therefore, you have to steal one on another one on the road to get to a bowl game. I'm not going bowl game yet. They've got two wins. So, but I think if you get the one this week at Cal, all of a sudden it does kind of change things over the next 5 weeks.
No, it really does. And I mean, again, it's six wins. It's not that many when you think about it, but you start looking at the schedule wondering, all right, where are those going to come from? You have to get this one. And again, not even looking at the bowl side of it, just trying to make this more or less a respectable second year under Coach Carl Durrell.
Yeah, you know, and the way things went for those 4 weeks when they fell to 1-4, if they finish 4-8, 5-7, you have to almost feel pretty good about that, the way they finished the season. So I think as long as you can take momentum into next year, that's a big deal. If you get to a bowl game, that's a bonus at this point. But just take some momentum into next year.
Yeah, no question about it. Brian, what are you working on for us, man, that we can check out in Buff Zone?
Yeah, just lots of preview stuff for this game. And then, you know, Basketball Media Day was this week. And, you know, my colleague Pat Rooney's got men's basketball covered. And we'll have some of that. And I've got some women's basketball stories coming up. So there's a lot going on in Buffland right now.
I'll be interested to see how Tad Boyle does with this crew because, you know, all the time, McKinley Wright, you're losing guys, not many seniors. But you're, you know, year in, year out, we're talking about it. Tad Boyle just reloads, and they're always expected to go dancing.
Yeah, they are. That's a pretty good team. I mean, I don't know if they'll get to the NCAA tournament. I think that they have a team that can get there. I think a lot of people are doubting them because they lose McKinley Wright. They're going to be pretty good, though.
Yeah, well, I'm pumped, man. I love this time of year. We're getting into the previews for basketball. We're knee deep in some football. It's a great time to be a sports fan. Brian, appreciate you as always, my friend, and we'll look to catch up with you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks.
All right, Brian Howell of Buff Zone, one of our Buffs insiders here. And yeah, last week was nuts. I called that was one. I was feeling good in my picks last week, Angel. I picked the Buffs to win and cover. I picked CSU to win and cover. I think it was 11.5 when I picked. Nailed those two, and then the rest of the week just kind of went crazy. I picked the Bears to cover and lose. And it was a little bit over that. I think like a touchdown over that or something like that. And then I picked Air Force to lose to Boise State. That was a mistake. And then I picked the Broncos to beat the Raiders. So started off wonderfully. I am still sitting at, I'm over 500. Where are we here? I gotta take a look at this. Everybody wants to know. I'm sitting at 14-12 in my local picks. So what's respectable, Angel? Is 500 going to do it? Or do I need to be like at the end of the season, 10 games over the 500 mark? What's respectable?
I think that's up for the Hooligans to decide. I don't think.
Oh, they're not going to give me any credit.
I don't think I'm qualified to make a decision like that on my first day.
They don't. They don't give me any credit, man. I could be undefeated, and they'd still be like, "Dude, you missed one." Like if I finally lost one, you know what? I'm 14-12. We're going to be looking at. The question is, do I incorporate Air Force into this? Because I did last week, and I normally don't. People ask me why. Why are you not talking Air Force more? We're Northern Colorado, right? So I'd still talk Denver sports. You can't get away from that. I still talk national sports. But when it comes to my phone, I'm only one man, Angel. I can't go to games and practices for every team in the history of the world. Hooligans think that I'm just all day long running to practices, going to games, having the time of my life. But I have to have a nap time. I have to be able to sleep and relax and play video games. I can't be at all this stuff all the time.
So you're human?
Yeah, I'm human. You know, it's hard to believe. I know. Mr. Thursday Night is human. Speaking of Mr. Thursday Night, Angel, your first Thursday Night special coming up, man. I mean, that's a lot of production value that goes into this.
It's a lot of pressure.
It is. It's well, you know, magazines from all over the country have said that this is the greatest segment in the history of radio. I don't know if you've read those magazines, but they're legit, dude. These are big time magazines, and this has been voted year in and year out the greatest segment in the history of radio. I mean, bigger than when Orson Welles did the pretend, hey, we're being attacked by aliens thing. I don't make the rules. That's just what people are saying, that this segment is that big, and we do it every single week. This one's a little more special, too. Packs a little more of a punch. Browns, Broncos.
Yeah, got to bring it.
Oh, boy. All right, here we go. 31 minutes after the hour. We'll get a quick break, and then it's Thursday night special time. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.